I wandered o'er life's stormy road, no hope in sight for me. My eyes were blinded by my tears. I could no shelter see. Then I met Jesus, wonderful friend. He loved and saved me, love without end. Now that I'm walking close by his side, storms may surround me. In him I hide. I tried the things that seemed a joy. They did not satisfy. So burdened was my heart with sin. Oh, save me was my cry. I needed one to share my cares, to lead when dark the way. I prayed for one to take my hand and guide me all the way. Then I met Jesus, wonderful friend. He loved and saved me, love without end. Now that I'm walking close by his side, storms may surround me. In him I hide.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. And thank you, Brother Benefield, for the DVD presentation, and pretty powerful, isn't it? You hear the testimonies of the people. And you know what, folks? We in America, we sit back and sometimes we think, you know, is anything going over there in the mission field? There you go, right there. It's happening. And that's the reason we need to stay in the missions business and reaching people and sending missionaries. Take your Bible. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you'd stand with me, we're going to read verses 16 down through verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse number 16. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. He said, I am all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You know, some would like to take these last few phrases that Paul used here and try to justify that it's okay to go anywhere and do anything, just as long as people get saved. If you need to go into the bars, go into the bars. If you need to go into this place, that's not what he's talking about, folks. What he's saying is, you know what? My heart's desire was the salvation of souls. He said, listen, there in many places, Paul plainly pointed out that he was willing to die for that cause. And if he could, listen, he said, if I could give my soul that the entire nation of Israel could be saved, he was willing to sacrifice his own soul on that behalf. I want to take these few verses tonight, church, and talk to you. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line? I think we found it out what Paul's bottom line was. And that ought to be our bottom line as a church. Father, bless us. Thank you for the privilege of serving. Teach us now, Holy Ghost, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. You know, when you hear people speak of the bottom line, basically what they're referring to is, what's the summary? They go and look at what the bottom line is, because normally the bottom line pretty much gives you a synopsis of everything just prior to that. And so everybody's interested in what is the bottom line. You see, they know the details of the whole and they know the goal, but what they want to see is the production. What they want to see is, where's the profit of their investment? You know, in the business world, the bottom line means profit or loss. In the business world, the bottom line means success or failure. But can I say to you, church, when it comes to the church of the living God, the bottom line is reaching people. The bottom line is winning souls. The bottom line is reproducing ourselves. The bottom line is God calling people out for the glory of God. That's what the bottom line is when it comes to church work, when it comes to Christianity. You see, in the secular world, when businessmen look at the bottom line and they take a real close look at the bottom line and they see that it may not be as favorable as they desire, many times in the secular world, companies purpose to improve the bottom line two different ways. And I want to make an application of this in a spiritual sense in just a moment. But I'm talking about in the secular world, two things they do to improve. First of all, they grow revenue. Okay? Got to grow revenue if you're going to improve the bottom line. You say, well, what is that? They've got to have involvement. They've got to have operations. Not only do they have to have funds, but they've got to have people to operate. The second thing that in the business world that they use to improve the bottom line is increasing efficiency. So two things, growing revenue, increasing efficiency. In other words, the quality of producing the desired effect with an organized plan and process. You know, most businesses are looking to produce profit and productivity as economically and as efficient as they possibly can. Now, folks, listen. You say, preacher, are you trying to compare the church to a business? Not at all. But I'm saying the business world has something that we need to understand. And they need to understand it, or we need to understand that when you look at the bottom line in church work, it's about reaching souls. It's about discipling people. It's about helping people. You see, what a company's desire is to accomplish in their business what they're trying to do is they're trying to increase and strengthen the workforce, which is the top line, so that they can see productivity and profitability, which is the bottom line. Can I say to you, the analogy is this: if we want to see more people saved, you know what we've got to do? We've got to increase the top line. We've got to have more productivity. We've got to have more people in the operation if we expect to see more people saved. You see, the leadership of a company will be the ones who look at the bottom line. You know, the guy that's at the cash register, the guy that's stocking, he's not concerned about the bottom line. What he's concerned about is his paycheck. But you know what? The guy that has the most investment, he's concerned about the bottom line. He's concerned about the operation. He's concerned about the productivity. He's concerned about profit or loss. Now, church, I made that analogy simply tonight to help us understand that here at Trinity Baptist, there is a bottom line. You know, in Scripture, Paul just told us what the bottom line is. He says that he was willing for the Jew to become as a Jew, that he might win some. To the weak to become weak. To the strong become strong. He said that he was willing to make himself all things to all men, that I might by all means, here's the bottom line now, save some. That was it. His whole life was about the bottom line. His whole life was about reaching people and evangelizing people and starting churches. May I say to you, as the pastor of this church, I must continually look at the bottom line. I must continually examine the bottom line, because the bottom line, listen to me, church, is the summary of the whole ministry. Because if we're not winning people to Christ and we're not participating as a whole as a church, it's just a few years down the road to where we're going to be non-existent. You see, the heartbeat of God is winning people to Christ and sending missionaries. Hey, listen, I may not ever get to go to Cambodia, but bless God, I can go through the Benefields. And you know what? For every person they win to Christ, every church they started, can I say something to you? I may not have a bit, but there's some fruit that abounds to my account. You see, all I'm saying to you, church, is simply that we must grow our involvement for operation. Do you know there are some in the church that can serve and can go? There are some that can't go, but they can pray. There are some that can't go, but they can give so that others can go. You see, we've got to grow our involvement for operation. The next thing we've got to do is we've got to increase our efficiency to see the desired results. Hey, listen, everybody in here, listen, you like winning people to Christ, right? Let me ask you this. If you knew that you had the opportunity to go to a home and the person at that home already knew you were coming and they were already interested in being saved, I think probably most everybody in this auditorium would say, "Oh, go, preacher! I'll go." Well, do you know that, dear folks, that we've got to increase our efficiency? We've got to organize our system of attack, and then every able-bodied member can do their part. Everybody can. See, preacher, I'm so afraid to go cold turkey knock on the door. Well, let me ask you this. Would you go somewhere if I already had an appointment for you set up? Would you go and talk to them? You say, "I'll do that. I'll do in a heartbeat." Good. Because I'm going to present to you a program in the future where you're going to have that opportunity. Listen, some of us, we can just go cold. I went to this afternoon. Just cold turkey, man. You know? And listen, I didn't see anybody saved this afternoon. But you know what? Some of us can do that. Some of us don't want to do that. But you know what? You'd go and carry some information to somebody that knew you were coming. You see, all I'm saying to you, my dear friend, listen to me. There are three parts of the Great Commission. We're to go, we're to baptize, but listen, we've got to get on the stick in teaching people the Word of God. Listen, the reason people are flocking to the Jehovah's Witnesses and flocking to the Mormons and flocking out of what we believe the truth to be is because they don't know what the truth is. We're not doing a good job at teaching people what the truth is and teaching them doctrine. So we've got to grow involvement, and then we've got to increase efficiency in our program. Now, go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Let me show you here another part of Scripture. Paul writing here to these same Corinthians. Now keep in mind that here in 1 Corinthians, these are young believers. They don't know their head from a hole in the ground. They don't know anything. So everything he instructs them is all new to them. It would be like you going with Brother Benefield back to Cambodia. These people don't know anything. Did you see them? "I never knew God. I was involved in Buddhism. I didn't know this. I didn't know." They didn't know anything until somebody went. But when somebody went and began to open the truth up, boy, their hearts were open. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. The Scripture says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Now I want you to notice verse 6. "I," Paul said, "have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Did you notice it wasn't just one person in the operation? It wasn't just one person going out themselves and doing everything, that it was a team effort. Paul said, "Some's got to go plant, some's got to go water, and then some's going to follow on that God's going to use to give the increase." Best I can tell, there's three people involved in this thing, not just one person. And so what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is simply that we've got to understand that, listen, there's a process that we've got to follow if we want to see productivity. You see, we understand that the bottom line in our private ministry is to walk with God. We learned Sunday morning that God's command is for us to walk justly, for us to walk and love mercy. So we understand that what the bottom line in our private life is. But we also have to understand there's a bottom line in our public ministry as well, and that's productivity. That's reproducing. Now, can I say to you, church members, you're a vital part of this body of believers. I'm not going to turn there, but you could go read it yourself. Go read and study the chapter in 1 Corinthians 12. You see, Paul had to take some time out to explain to these young Corinthian believers that everybody was necessary. Everybody was important. And nobody else in the body had the right to tell somebody else they weren't of any use. Just because a person doesn't go and cold turkey door knocking, does it mean I don't want them to pray for me? No. He had to teach them that, listen, everybody has a part. Everybody has a place. And I want to say to church, if we're going to evangelize our city and our community and our neighborhood, it's going to take all of us getting involved. Some's got to be willing to plant, some's got to be willing to water, and some's going to have to be willing to go so that God can use them to give the increase. Now, I want to take these verses for just a moment. Don't have much time tonight, but I want to just look at a couple of things. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 9. Several statements I want to point out that Paul made, and all of it had to do with the bottom line. All of it had to do with the bottom line of reaching people for Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 16. First statement he makes here is this. He says, for though I preach the gospel, here's the first statement I want you to notice. He said, I, the person, have nothing to glory of. He said, you know what? When I go out and I preach the gospel, it's not about me. That's the reason, folks, when you go out and tell people about Christ, you ought to just leave your feelings in the car. You ought to just go, and when you get there, pull your car up, go to the trunk, unlock the trunk, say, feelings? Lock them in the trunk. And walk up that way. If somebody is not as kind as you expect them to be, you know what? You can just walk off and say, well, I guess they weren't the one that needed to be saved today. So you go to the next door. Listen, I'm telling you, we're too soft-skinned and too thin-skinned. All I'm saying to church is, Paul said, I have nothing to glory of. Hey, you think they patted Paul on the back from every city that he went to? No, you know what they want to do in most cities he went to, Brother Stone? Kill him. I wonder how many of us, if the threat of death was waiting for us in that city, I wonder how many of us would go. They said, you come to our city, we'll kill you. You say, well, I guess you're going to have to kill me. Listen, when you got a word from God, you can do anything. That's the reason that brother right there is in Cambodia. It's the reason that brother right there is going to Corpus. You know why? They got a word from God. I'm just saying, Paul said, I have nothing to glory of. May I say to you, church, evangelism is not a suggestion, it's a command. Not just for the church, but for everyone individually. And our purpose is to glorify God. Listen, no self-motive, no agenda. Paul didn't have any agenda. He says, I don't want to know anything among you except Christ crucified. Jesus, that's all I want to know. He said, I don't care about what you've done in the past. Some of us, we're too interested. Now sit down and tell me about what kind of lifestyle you've had. You know what? The thing about it is Paul went to the city and he had one purpose and one purpose only. To know Christ and Him crucified. That's it. All his concern was is getting the gospel. He said, I have nothing to glory of. Can I say to you the next statement? Look at the same verse. He said, I have nothing to glory of. He says, listen now, for necessity is laid upon me. He says there's a necessity. Hey, folks, would everybody agree with me from what we saw tonight, there's a need in Cambodia? Hey, can I tell you something? How can you explain a person raised in Buddhism all their life all of a sudden changing everything they've ever been taught in their life and turning to Jesus? I can tell you because there's a brother here that says it's a necessity. The necessity of the gospel is laid upon me. And he went there and begin to teach and preach. And guess what? So far, 11 years, 600 people saved. Not bad. How many of you wanted Christ? And he's seen these people saved in a foreign country. Paul said there's necessity laid upon me. Hey, listen, people don't know truth, but we do. You see, I'm the source of communicating the gospel. And can I say something to you tonight, church? You have a circle of influence of people that you're acquainted with that nobody may can reach except you. Do you know some of you come in contact with people every day that I would probably they probably wouldn't give me the time of day or a cup of water, but they'd listen to you. They'd listen to you if you sat down and talked to them about the gospel. Paul said, there's a necessity laid upon me. Look at the next statement he made in verse 17. Did you notice he says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. He said, folks, listen, there shouldn't a preacher, there shouldn't a staff member, there shouldn't anybody have twist your arm to go tell somebody about Christ. Nobody. You ought to do it because you love God, because you care about the kingdom of God, because you want to see your church built for the glory of God. Nobody should twist our arm to go out and tell people about Christ. Hey, I shouldn't have to be told or pressured. I shouldn't have to be my arm twisted or somebody say, or have to come to me and say, where you been out so many? Hadn't seen you in months. Nobody should have to tell us that. We ought to do it because we love Christ. Hey, let me tell you something. We got all these holidays we just passed, got other holidays coming up, and you know what? For most of you, Valentine's coming up. Ain't nobody going to have to tell you to go get something for the wife. You say, I'm not going to. Okay, go ahead. Try it. See if it works. Now, all I'm saying to you is simply that, listen, nobody's going to twist anybody's arm. Listen, we should accept our part in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and decide we're going to be a functioning, operating part to the best of our ability and for the gifts that God has given us. Look at the next phrase that he used. Look at this. Verse 17, are you there? He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, notice this. He used some interesting language. He said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Wow. He says, you know what God did? God said, I'm going to take a piece of the overall plan of reaching people, and I'm going to stick it in your pocket. And you're going to be responsible for it. Now, you know what most of us would say? Oh, my, I don't know if I want that responsibility. Well, I'm here to tell you, Trinity Baptist Church, this is our allotted time. I hear people tell me, oh, preacher, I wish I lived back in the 1800s. Oh, preacher, I wish I lived back in the days when the King James Bible was first coming out. Well, good luck. Because most of us would have had to been killed. May I say to you, this is our allotted time, just as it was the time for the martyrs, just as it was the allotted time for those listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It was their time. Listen, this is our time. This is our allotted time. And Paul said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I've got in this little box just a little old bitty kid's puzzle. Only 24 pieces to this little puzzle. But you know, God says, Mikey, I'm going to give part of the puzzle to you. Okay, that's your part. He comes over here and says, Orion, I'm going to give you a part of the puzzle. And he comes over here and says, Brother Scott, you get a part. Brother Carlos, you get a part. And Brother Havens, you get a part. And he goes on and on through the congregation. You know what he's saying? Every one of us get a part. Now, can I tell you, I have a box now with pieces right here. If I tried to put the puzzle together, it's going to be incomplete without the ones I gave them. You see, it's going to be incomplete if everybody don't put their piece of the puzzle together so that we can see the overall picture. Hey, all I'm saying to you folks, some's got a plant, some's got a water. Bless God, some's got to have the power of God so that God will use them to give the increase. And by the way, did you notice Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I can't even sleep at night. He said, man, I go to sleep at night. And I sit there and see them little old Jewish boys and them little old Jewish girls and them little Gentile boys and girls as I walk through the city sitting there holding their hand out. I wonder if Brother Stone here, and as he goes to sleep at night, I wonder if he sees the faces of people in Corpus saying, you know what, come over here. Come over here. I wonder if Brother Benefield goes to sleep at night and when he rests his eyes at night, I wonder if he sees the faces of them little Cambodian kids. I wonder if Brother Ingram back here is going to Croatia when he goes to sleep at night. God gives him a vision in his sleep of those faces, those gypsy people in Croatia. What I'm saying to you folks, every one of us ought to have a vision in the night about the faces of lost souls and people that we have to minister to in Arlington, Texas. Well, let me give you one more. Look in verse 22. Paul says, here's the statement I want you to get, that I might, by all means, save some. There's two things interesting about this. First of all, did you notice he said, that I took it personally. Why? Because he understood, you know what? A part of the dispensation of the gospel has been given to me. And the bottom line is, I need to take my piece of the puzzle and put it to use. Listen, my piece is important to the overall picture. He says that he took it personally. But then did you notice he said that I might by, this is important. He said all means. And I don't think he meant by compromising either. I remember a young man. I used to go out with my father-in-law. He was a member of whatever they call those things. What was it? Moose Lodge, Elk Lodge, something. Anyway, but they had a lake and some property. And we used to go on this lake and stuff. We used to run trot lines. We used to run them at night. And usually there were two of us and sometimes three of us in the boat. And what you'd have is you got a guy running a trot line. You'd have a guy baiting. Okay? He's running along there and he's baiting. Okay, then you drop that trot line in there, and then you have a guy that baits, and then you have a guy, which sometimes we'd rotate, and I'd get to the front. You'd have a guy that was a baiter, and then you'd have a guy that's what we call the runner. And he's the one that grabbed that trot line, and you start pulling things up. Okay? I don't have time to tell you about some of the things I pulled out of the dark of the deep with nothing but a headlight on. You know, there's some things that came out of there. I'm not sure that what it was, but I let it go. But you had baiters, you had runners, and then, listen, I didn't like this part, but then when we got home, then you have the cleaners. Can I say to you, church, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have some folks that are going to have to bait the hooks. You say, I'll bait the hooks if I don't have to say nothing. Listen, I didn't say anything. I just put bait on the hook. I just baited it, went on down my way. But you know what we're going to have? We're also going to have not just some baiters. We're going to have some people that's going to have to run the trot lines. Somebody's going to have to run the line and say, oh, hey, got one right here. Then we're going to have some that once we get them in church, we're going to have some be the cleaners. We've got some teach them. Some's going to have to help them. Some's going to have to grow them in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then he said, lastly, he says, by all means that I may save. He didn't say I was going to save everybody. Wouldn't it be great, Brother Benefield, if God just said, Brother Benefield, I'm going to use you to save the entire country of Cambodia. Boy, wouldn't that be great? But you know something? It'd be great, Brother Stone, to go to Corpus and say, you know what? I'm going to Corpus. God's going to save hundreds of thousands of people. What, 600,000? 300,000? Man, wouldn't that be great? But the truth of the matter is, Paul went from city to city, and he says, you know what? I ain't going to save them all, but I'm going to save some. I ain't going to get them all, but I'm going to get as many as I can. You know why? Because a part of the dispensation of the gospel is given to me. He says, I have nothing to glory of. He says, I have one thing. The bottom line. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm a Christian, no question about it. Jesus came back tonight on my way to heaven.